everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me, because this is such a great opportunity to get important information that really makes a huge difference in your life. And as you probably know, this kicks off the month of October, which is always associated with Breast Health Awareness Month. That's what I call it. It's Breast Health Awareness Month. And we'll be doing a series of shows all month long with people who have important things to share with us so we can all have healthy breasts, because that's the key to really being on a trajectory so the whole breast cancer experience does not need to be part of your experience. And there are many proactive steps we as women of all ages can be taking to really optimize our health and well-being. I just want to be sure that for those of you who may be listening for the first time, to go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, because I do have some really important information and free articles that actually will give you the kind of knowledge that empowers you. And my Facebook page is also What Women Must Know, so that's another place where I get a chance to post a lot of really important information, just to keep this educational process rolling along. And I certainly encourage you to go to What Women Must Know and opt into my website there, because once you've opted in, these radio shows get sent to you and lots of other very interesting interviews and articles that I put together will be coming your way as well. So you don't want to miss out. And speaking of not missing out, today we're going to have a really important conversation. And I have to tell you that as always, the information that I'll be sharing and the guests that I have are really going to open up your world of possibilities and get a deeper understanding as to what really are your options to stay healthy. And we have to dig a little deeper, because often what we are told or the options that we are given in the traditional medical world aren't necessarily going to serve us the best. At least we need to know what our options are. So today we're going to be talking about thermography. Some of you may not have heard of thermography, and we'll be explaining everything about what it is and also how it relates to healthy breast health solutions. And my guest today is Dr. Hillary Smith. So just let me share a little bit about Hillary. She has earned her Doctor of Chiropractic degree in 1984. She has maintained a continuous practice in the Los Angeles area since that time. In addition, she has a doctorate in homeopathic medicine, is a functional medicine practitioner, and certified health coach. Dr. Smith also incorporated bioenergetic medicine and healing practices in her treatments. In 2006, she became interested in breast thermography. She received training as a certified clinical thermographer through the American Council of Clinical Thermology and began to offer the screening in her office. Through that experience, she found her passion for empowering women with health information and proactive safe screenings. For the last 3 years, she has dedicated her practice to thermography and health education. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Hillary Smith to the show today. Hello, Hillary.
Hello, Cheryl. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. And I think we should tell everyone that you are my thermographer. I think we have to let that out of the bag right up.
I would never tell, but if you want to.
So I can tell
everyone that you're a mentor of mine, and I love listening to your show, and I learn so much from you.
Well, there we are, Mutual Admiration Society. But I do so appreciate what you do, because I have been working with you for, several years. And I also have to disclose that I've never had a mammogram. And I attribute, just my healthy path to thermography that keeps letting me know that I am on a healthy path. And I prefer to use thermography as my first choice for screening. So we're going to talk all about this and get people introduced to thermography, because I'm sure many of the women listening, and even the men who are be sharing this with all their women, and we'll talk about the greater use of thermography, because it has much greater application beyond just a breast screening technology. So people can really appreciate what this amazing modality offers. So Hillary, why don't we just jump right off the edge here and talk about thermography. What is thermography?
So thermography is a test of physiology. It's looking at function, not structure, like many tests that we're used to, as far as imaging goes. And it's an infrared camera. The camera that we use is specially made for medical use. It has a very narrow range and a great sensitivity. And really all we're looking at is the expression of the body on the skin seen as temperature variations. So it's completely non-toxic because it picks up the heat that's coming off of a person. And it's safe for everybody, and it can give us some very valuable information about what's going on with us.
So, how is that used for breast screening? So let's get into more depth. Can you just explain how it provides an opportunity to have, an insight into what's happening that could be more of an early, an early intervention sign, or just a more accurate assessment of what's really happening with our physiology?
Sure. So when we are looking at the breast, everyone has an individual thermal fingerprint. Everybody has a heat pattern that's unique to them, like a fingerprint. And we establish a thermal fingerprint for each woman by taking a series of scans 3 months apart, or as close to that as we can get. And then we know what's normal for that person. If that changes, then we have to look further. So this is how we can see very, very early changes. They could be hormonal, it could be lymphatic congestion, it's not necessarily a diagnosable disease, but we know at that point when that thermal fingerprint or pattern changes that the person is veering away from health. And this is when we want to know. We don't want to know when we have a traditional diagnostic test that we already have a disease. The information that we can get from doing breast thermography is we're stable, or we might be moving in the wrong direction, and how do we get back to our stable thermal fingerprint?
So one of its functions is to give us an early warning sign, about how our physiology is responding. Do we see heat? And let's talk about what we're seeing if the scan shows there's more heat going on in the breast. What does that mean?
And one
potentially.
Thing, yes, so I want to talk about the heat because it is a temperature gradient study, but I see many people when they come to my office for the first time and I take a picture of them and they're looking at the screen and they've never had a thermography and they're not experts in it. They've never even seen it before. And they see a little bit of a color that they saw on a website and they start to perspire and get scared and go to a dark place. Having heat isn't necessarily a pathology or the start of a pathology. That could be somebody's thermal fingerprint. My thermal fingerprint has a lot of heat in it, always has. So what we're looking at is patterns and a change in a pattern. What we can see, of course, people don't go to sleep at night without, with healthy breath, and they wake up in the morning with breast cancer. That's not how any disease process works. There's a time that goes by between when we start moving in the wrong direction and when we're diagnosed. And that's what thermography is so brilliant at looking at. Because when we start to see cell duplication, we can see a change in that pattern. Many times it's with angiogenesis, which is when blood vessels grow to bring nutrition to duplicating cancer cells, because these new cells need food. And there are other signs that we can see. So that's one way that we see a change in thermography. But we see more simple things that could be a potential problem, such as lymphatic congestion, because in the thermal screening of the breast, we're not just looking at what's between two plates. We're looking at the whole breast, the lymphatics above, below, and in the underarm. So we see a lot of lymphatic congestion. Well, you know, if you're not cleaning that area, if the body's not able to get rid of toxins, that's a danger sign. So we can see that, and we can address that. We can see hormonal shifts. I mean, you know this so well. There are so many women that are on bioidentical hormones that are not monitoring their physiology, even though they are affecting their physiology. They are getting mammograms to see if they have cancer, but they're not looking at what's going on with them with these hormones, and are they experiencing an estrogen dominance? Is there a problem with these hormones making things grow? I don't see why every woman who's on bioidentical hormones isn't recommended to do a thermography.
Wow, that's such an interesting point, because what we know is that when you start taking hormone supplementation, whether it's the hormone replacement therapy that traditional medical doctors have given for decades now, or whether it's bioidentical hormones, which just means that you've got a natural molecule, similar molecule to the progesterone you make rather than a synthetic version of it, but they both have estrogens, that those hormones can have consequences. They can have an effect of what's going on in your body, especially if the body is not able to process them, deactivate them in the liver, or perhaps the amount they're being given is excessive, what their body needs, then they can start causing problems. So what you're saying is that if there is something that is out of balance, or it's causing, for whatever reason, the hormones that these women may be on or are on may be causing some physiological response that could be a problem down the track, these are the kinds of things that can be identified early on.
Yes, and we can monitor too. So I've had people come in that I'm screening who have just started maybe on a low dose or a higher dose or up their dose, or even really not savvy with what they're doing, and they're not working with a practitioner who's experienced, and maybe they're using oils or over-the-counter hormone replacements. And we see these leaps in their thermal patterns. And so then when they back it off and they clean it up, they come back and we're able to say, okay, that was it. That was leading you in the wrong direction. You did the right thing to back it off or stop using this deodorant or this supplement. And it's an objective way to see improvement also. It's not just how somebody thinks they might be doing, but we're looking at it, and we can see it, and so we can document it.
Yeah, that's so interesting that, this is a tool that can give you a great insight into what's happening within your body. I think your website is, picture inside. You actually can have a look inside and get an idea of what's happening within your physiology. And I think it's also important to say that, breast cancer takes a period of time to really develop before it can even be seen on a mammogram. Do you want to explore that a little bit more, Hillary?
I think, well, every, we're speaking in generalities because some breast cancers are so slow that nothing will ever happen, and some are so aggressive. But typically, and the breast surgeon will tell a patient this, it could take 5 to 10 years of cancer cells duplicating before it's big enough to be identified on a screening that's looking at anatomy. But with thermography, after a couple of years of cell duplication, we can start to see a change. And that gives a person a wonderful window and opportunity to do their best to return to their health status. And I think what you said, this is a tool. And that's such an important statement, Cheryl, because everybody's trying to pigeonhole thermography as a replacement for this or a radiation-free that. But what it is, it's a tool. It's an additional tool that's in our health toolbox. And we can't really compare it to anything because it is completely unique. There is no other visual screening that I know of that is going to look at physiology. All the other tests are looking at anatomy. And they have their place. and we like to use things in combination, but we always want to look at that tool of physiology or function. The way that a person would look at their blood levels of glucose or their A1C before, let's say, a diabetes diagnosis, you want to know that you're starting to move in the wrong direction. Make a correction. Look at your diet. And then we monitor, let's say, that glucose, and we see that the person has made that correction and it's working. Well, that's what we want to do with thermography. We want to monitor health and stay in the health side and not just use thermography as a replacement for a test to diagnose cancer. That's kind of a pet peeve of mine.
And I understand because it's really... From my experience, it's like it's serving us to really have more information so we can be able to assess what's going on and, like you said, make those changes so we can maybe change our diet or hormones are too aggressive or the dose is too high or maybe they're not appropriate. We can start seeing what's going on in the body. And you said something about deodorants. Do you want to elaborate about your concerns about some of these deodorants that women are using, too?
I can always tell who's on the crack, as I call it. And so many women are using these harsh antiperspirants and deodorants, and it's just habitual. Some people don't even sweat much or they don't smell much. But we can see so much lymphatic congestion under the arms when we do the first scan, and we can see that dissipate as people clean up. They do some lymphatic work, and they get off of traditional antiperspirants, which just suppress the body's own ability to release toxins. The deodorants that are full of parabens and artificial colors and things that are detrimental to breast tissue. And then that crystal stone, which has a form of alum in it that I find just as detrimental to lymphatic flow. And then even some of the so-called natural deodorants, well, they'll say there's no aluminum, but that doesn't mean that there's not other junk in it. But I'll tell you, Cheryl, in the past 10 years since I started doing thermography, I have seen so many great clean deodorant options coming up now. So I think people are getting smart and they're buying deodorants that are clean, that work, and aren't trying to suppress their body's natural healing expression of sweating and getting it out.
You know, I actually don't use a deodorant, and I think if we clean up our body, the bacteria that's causing the smell that people are trying to protect themselves from isn't there. I don't really have an issue with that. But if people are going to use something, they need to do something that's really safe and natural. Some of the things I recommend are essential oils, frankincense is an oil, even lavender. Those are oils you can use or spray under your arms, and they are antibacterial. You can use them. I like Nano Silver, the product that I talk about on my show is Silver Biotics. That kills all bacteria. I mean, there are all these natural things that can help, and you never want to use an antiperspirant, right? Because that's like shutting down the body's detoxification system.
And there are people that tell me, well, I went for a hike and I smelled. Well, when you're exercising, definitely let it out. Because if you smell, like you said, you have toxins that are trying to escape your body, and you're suppressing that. I've seen recipes online with arrowroot and baking soda. Those are all things that will absorb the moisture. And then, yeah, I love the Nano Silver. That's awesome, and it's clean and it dries. But people also make something with shea butter or coconut oil, essential oils, nothing with natural fragrance. I don't ever want to see that word fragrance. Another thing to think about is that we're suppressing the lymphatic flow under our arm. And not only does that clean the breast, that's where the lymphatics go, but also draining the head and neck. I mean, we've got our dental stuff, our sinuses, our thyroid, the lymphatics that take care of our gums and do you want to clog up that sink? And then you're just backing up the whole thing, and then you get that overflow. So it's really important to keep the underarms clean.
And you can see this congestion, Hillary, with thermography?
I just look at them and I say, what are you putting under your arms?
Wow, because it shows up as a it's a physiological response going on that's generating that more heat in the body?
Well, yes, and we see that as hyperthermia or heat, which indicates the congestion. Sometimes I see it in people that aren't using deodorants, but they've stopped exercising. They're not moving their lymphatics. The lymphatics need a pump. And so we need to move so that we can sweat, so we can clean out our body. That's one of the ways that our bodies were designed to keep us healthy. But people don't even think about it. And, I mean, I think that my clientele are very health-oriented, and they're savvy, and they don't think about it. They don't think about it because it's so ubiquitous. So I do try to point that out to people. And they are really happy once they've cleaned that up, and they're using products that they never thought could work. And they're not putting parabens into their breast tissue and aluminum into their system,
which can be the variety of toxins that can drive cancer to develop. You know, these are all toxins that increasing the level of toxicity in our body that can damage our DNA.
And heavy metal.
So while we're talking about the healthy breast side of things, do you want to talk a little bit about lymphatic brushing, and which I started using now. I didn't do it for a long time, and I've started getting back into using my brush for supporting my skin brush to help with lymphatics, and I do that every morning. Can we talk a little bit about that strategy for people?
Sure. You can. You always want to, with lymphatics, and you can, I believe there's a video on my website, and you can look this up to look at how you do your own self-massage. You always want to go toward the heart. So when you do your legs and your abdomen, you always want to brush up. And when you do your neck and your collarbones, you always want to brush down. And when I say brush, that's gentle brushing. Exercise, of course, rebounding, which is just moving up and down on a little trampoline. You can get those easily online. I think you just had an Ayurvedic doctor that you interviewed that talked about lymphatics. Is that correct?
Dr. Dulard. Yes, Dr. Dulard. He was great.
And he was, I thought his, he has a lot of great information. And one thing he was talking about is just keeping some hot water in a thermos and taking a sip for maybe a week every 10 minutes. So that's an interesting strategy that he's seen work.
Simple
enough
to do. People
can make teas, ginger. You can do some really clean water, peel some ginger, and boil that. That's a good lymphatic cleanser.
Right. So I think those are great tips that people need to start incorporating. Simple things like that into their daily routine, because
movement. It's movement, right?
And, yeah,
it's a pump.
Yeah.
You have to pump it. Yeah.
Yeah, and stay hydrated.
Yes.
And make sure your lymph doesn't get sluggy.
That's right.
Very scientific.
Nobody
term.
Wants sluggy lymph.
Right. So I want to go back to the issue with mammography. So that's a big thing that gets pushed for Breast Health Awareness Month, as we call it. Can you share some of your concerns about mammography?
Well, as far as thermography goes, the FDA, they called thermography an adjunctive breast screening in 1982. So from my perspective, I don't, you know, I ask women to educate themselves about mammography, and maybe you might want to help with that. I'm really for myself, looking at the breast health side of it and not the breast cancer side. But, you know, what we have to think about mammography is, what are the pros and cons? The young women with dense breasts, it's a known fact that mammography is not a good test. It's not an effective or efficient test. And now there are actually laws being passed in many states, and hopefully will become a national law, that women that have dense breast tissue on mammography need to be notified of that and advised that they may need to do further testing with another type of test. So it can see through dense breast tissue. It is compression and radiation. There all are false positives. The study that was completed about 3 years ago in Canada, which it was highly publicized and in a journal, so it's really easy for people to find, showed that if people were treated for something that was seen on a mammogram alone without a palpable lump, that they were women were overtreated 73% of the time, and that very few lives are actually saved by mammography. And these are all the long-term medical studies that have been done, that have been published in peer-reviewed journals. So when we talk about 73% of overtreatment, we're talking about some pretty harsh treatment also.
Well, you know, this is a really good point, and we can talk a little bit more about dense breast tissue, because younger women, you know, the largest population where there's an increase in the incidence of breast cancer is occurring in women under the age of 40. So if you haven't gone through menopause, you are producing, and you know, every month have levels of estrogen, which are normal. But estrogen is a hormone that is part of what creates a breast density. And because we're looking at structure with mammography, unlike thermography, which is looking at the physiology, what's going on in the tissues, because we're just looking at a structure, we're looking to see if something has progressed to the place where it actually has created a tumor, a small one, or sometimes it's a cyst, sometimes it's a tumor, that can be hidden in dense breast tissue. So mammography can lead to a lot of false positives, false negatives, and, you know, the big concern is that these women who are being encouraged to get their mammography at younger and younger ages are not going to be given the right screening that's going to give them accurate information. And if they do mammography, and I have met women in their 20s who have a diagnosis of breast cancer, or for some reason they're concerned, you know, whatever reason, so they've been getting mammography. It's like, that terrifies me, because they are getting on an annual or semi-annual basis radiation in breast tissue, and that radiation from mammography can in fact be one of the factors that can initiate breast cancer in these women, especially if they're doing it every 2 years for however many decades.
And they're so young. And I see people that maybe they felt a congested lymph under their arm. They went to their GP. They were sent for a mammogram. I mean, the area that they're concerned about wasn't even visualized on the mammogram, because it wasn't between the plates. It was in their underarm. Hmm. And because of the lack of efficiency of mammography in young women whose cancers, as you know, are often very aggressive, it's not recommended as a screening for young women, but yet the numbers are on the rise. So I would love to see young women starting with thermography before the age that would be recommended for them to have mammograms. Sometimes they say, well, I'm 30, so I'll start doing my breast screening at 40 or 50. But we want to see those early changes in young women who are very estrogenic so that we can help them stay healthy.
And I think that the dense breast tissue issue also applies to women who are on hormones, you know, whether it's Bidentical or HRT, because those levels of hormones could potentially thicken breast tissue as well, which can lead to false readings.
So, and the other thing that I've seen with mammography is that it's that so many of the physicians are just handing people a paper. Well, now women are getting Paps like every 2 or 3 years, so they're not having a physical or seeing their nurse practitioner or OBGYN every year. And I think it's so important that we have a clinical breast exam by somebody who is experienced and who knows the difference between what fibrocystic tissue feels like and cancer or a lump or a mass or a cyst. And these, what I've seen with the people that come into my office is that they're going in and they're having Paps or they're having annuals or they're even seeing their OBGYNs for wellness checks and they're not having a manual. They're being handed a piece of paper for a mammogram. So I think it's really important. Ask, ask, ask. Will you do a manual breast exam on me?
Right. So, yeah, I don't know how many
it's
doctors
a lost
do
art,
that
right? It's becoming a lost art.
Yeah. Oh, what about women doing self-exams? What are your recommendations about that?
I think even though there wasn't there, didn't they just do a study that said, don't do it, it's a problem? What's it hurting? You need to do it regularly. Don't make a big deal about it. Put soap, you know, when you're taking a shower or a bath, soap up your breath and feel your breath. Of course, it's going to be a little easier to feel your normal breast tissue if you're menstruating after your bleed. But be familiar with your breath because most lumps are found by women themselves. But as we know, when October rolls around and the pink ribbon comes out, people become so terrified and so afraid that it's gotten to the point where when I ask women, have you done, you know, are you doing a monthly exam? Do you ever do an exam? No, I don't know. I get scared. I don't know what I'm feeling for. You're just feeling for what's normal for you and then what's a change for you. But we don't have to be afraid. Somehow the breast has become the enemy, you know, of the woman. Do you see that? People are afraid to even do their own breast exam because they're getting so many conscious and subconscious messages about having cancer instead of just being healthy.
Well, I didn't know they came out with
a recommendation.
You know, finding a recommendation not to do your own breast exams,
false negative
for yourself. Really?
Yeah,
really?
It was about 2 years ago.
Well,
and then the big story is 1 out of 8 women will get breast cancer in their life. Well, I see people whose grandmothers did have breast cancer, but they had a stage 0 at 100. So does that really count? So if 1 out of 8 women is going to get breast cancer in her life, that means 7 out of 8 women aren't, right?
Right.
And if some of those, 1 of those 8 are 80 and above, I mean, if we really look at the statistics, of course it's a growing epidemic. Of course we're not trying to minimize that, but to be so fearful of doing a breast exam on yourself because you're being given statistics, you know, let's just switch that up. The statistics and the odds are in your favor, so don't be afraid to be familiar with your own breast tissue so that if there is a change, you know it. Because you're
right.
The one that's going to find it. You're the one that's going to be responsible for monitoring your health.
Hillary, can you give us a couple of stories from your practice of, you know, some of the benefits from thermography, clients that you encountered and what happened to them from getting regular thermography with you?
Do you want to talk about breast thermography? You want to talk about full body thermography?
Let's start with breast, and then we'll move into full body and explain what that
well,
is.
Well, yes, I have seen people who they come in the first time, and then when they return to for us to establish their stable baseline or thermal fingerprint, they continue to have changes. So we aren't able to do that. And I've seen people that maybe it's not typical, but maybe it's taken 9 months, and we continue to see changes, and that person may have a significant family history, which isn't always such a big deal, but with certain people it can be. And at that point, the person may make changes in their diet, get off the plastic water bottles that they're just drinking all their water out of, stop microwaving, start exercising, start eating cruciferous vegetables or doing supplementation, have your vitamin D levels checked. People's vitamin D is so low. Even here in California, where you would think people would have normal levels, they don't. And become proactive. And then when we see people make those changes and they come back and we scan them again, they then develop a stable baseline. Well, do we know that that would have gone on to become a pathology or that person would have had cancer? No, I can't tell you that for sure, but I can tell you they were moving in the wrong direction, and when they interceded with proper lifestyle changes and we monitored them objectively with thermography, we're able to see them, you know, hopefully not go down that path.
You know, it reminds me of a patient who called me. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she told me that for the past 5 years she's been seeing her doctor, and every time she went in for a physical, he said, there's something that we need to keep an eye on. And every year she would go in, and he would say, we just need to keep an eye on this. For 5 years, he said that, until on the fifth year she was diagnosed with breast cancer. You know, and I heard that story, I just want to pull my hair out, because if she had access to or knew about thermography and she was able to kind of track what was going on, see the potential things were brewing, and like you said, put into place the strategies through diet, through supplementing with vitamin D, with lymph brushing, with a variety of things, she could most likely have altered her health destiny. But just looking and saying, well, we'll just wait and see for another year, is not good enough to help women prevent their risk of breast cancer.
And when the only model that you're participating in is a diagnostic model, then your practitioner can only wait until there's something there, because that's their toolbox, right? When there's something on a mammogram, we've got a toolbox for you. But we are looking at early changes, and we have another toolbox. So who wants to wait? I mean, give it a shot. Let's try and stay healthy. So much of cancer is related to lifestyle. It's the majority of all cancers. So we have to take responsibility for ourselves. We can't just wait until we have a screening that could be toxic, that tells us we already have something, and then someone else is going to fix us. We need to get in it. It's our life. See what's going on with us. Get in there. Clean it up. Be healthy. And if some people are going to go on to develop cancer besides for their best efforts, which I have seen and you know through your genetic testing, maybe that just happens to some people, then at least you know as early as possible. And so the intervention is less toxic.
Yeah, that's such wise advice. I want to be sure we also talk a little bit about other applications of thermography, because thermography is often associated with just breast screening, but actually has much wider applications. So let's talk about all the other benefits from thermography.
I just got back from our organizational conference, and we had a presentation on breast thermography and full body thermography. And when I started, most people were having breast thermography, and now worldwide we're seeing almost as many people doing wellness full body checks, which is so great. So my website is picture inside, but actually we're not looking at inside. It's not microwave heat. We're looking at the expression on the skin. There are some things that we're looking at that are much deeper than the vascularization of the breast. But the things that we look at with the full body are sinuses, which can help people figure out if they're having headaches, TMJ, dental issues, inflammation and infection under crowns and in old root canals that the traditional dentist can't see. How important is that? I mean, that's huge. We're seeing inflammation in the carotid artery that's very close to the skin before people get narrowing of their arteries, are at risk for stroke. That's really important information. I see that in really young people. And so they can follow that up with an ultrasound and see that their artery is still open, but try to figure out what is that systemic inflammation, what is that inflammation in their body that would cause that. That's important. Looking at the thyroid, looking at the lymphatics, looking at the origin of pain, because people might have pain, let's say in their leg, they don't know if it's their hip, a deep vein, is it referred pain, is it coming from their low back, is the sciatic nerves being stuck in the buttocks. That's great information, because only a test of physiology is going to show you that infection or inflammation. And then inflammatory breast cancer can be seen on thermography and not on another test because it's not a lump. So that's a really important screening too.
Wow, you've given us so many applications. I liked what you were saying about the use to identify dental infections, because when you have a root canal, for instance, you could be having chronic infection going on, but it's you don't have a root, you don't have a nerve, you don't feel it. And yet it's that infection that is going on that could be one of the things that's suppressing your immune system, making you vulnerable to breast cancer, other chronic illnesses. So this is one of the ways it can be detected, which is really profound. And for all people who have root canals, and so many people have root canals, or even implants, or even cavitations, things that just don't show up the normal way, you can see this
infection. Or they have crowns, and the x-ray doesn't see through the metal. They have crowns,
yeah.
And they could have infection under their crown.
Yeah. So that, to me, is really important, another application for the use of thermography. And referred pain, you know, people could be experiencing pain, but they don't know where the origin is coming from. It may not be where the source of the pain is being experienced. And I've seen people who've had that occur, that they found that it was referred from something else going on in another part of their body. So
and then they know how to treat it. Then they know where to treat it.
Yeah, you can get to the source for sure.
Yeah, it's so efficient, and there's no downside. There's no compression. It doesn't hurt. There's no radiation. So it's just really good information to know.
And I think we have to say, just going back to the use of x-rays or the use of mammography, these are all forms that use radiation, and radiation is cumulative. It is a known carcinogen. It will cause DNA damage, and because it's cumulative, the more x-rays you have, the more mammograms you have, the more you're going to be potentially putting yourselves at risk. And what I love about thermography is that it's non-invasive, it's non-toxic, it can show you these physiological changes potentially years before anything is developing in case of breast screening, and in case of the infections or pain going on in the body, it can give you a clue as to what's really occurring so you can take the proper course of action.
And these 3D mammograms that people are thinking, well, now this is cool, I'll get a 3D mammogram, that's like a CT scan. There's so much radiation. I mean, I'm sure it has its place, but for a screening, is that really the best we can do? Can I give you one little story with full body thermography that I'm really happy about?
Please.
I was doing breast screenings at one of my satellite locations, a woman that had been coming in for a couple of years, and her young son came in, and he was on crutches. He had been in an accident on his school bus, and he had crushed a bone in his ankle, and he was seeing orthopedists, and he was being followed very closely, and he couldn't walk. And I just said, why don't we let's do a scan on him. So he came in, and I scanned his lower extremities, and from his mid-lower leg through his foot, nothing even showed up. He was having absolutely no circulation. That information was so important for them, for what they did. So I started to screen him on a regular basis, and he started doing some complementary treatments. And at one point, it looked like we were starting to see a little more activity, some life in that foot. And then we were so shocked when he came back maybe a month later, and again, it was like black. There was nothing there. And because of that information, we knew that what he was doing was not working. And they changed up their game, and they introduced some different physical therapies, and their acupuncturist did some cupping on his ankle to open it up. And then when I was able to see him the next time, we saw some activity almost through his midfoot. And he is now off of crutches. He's got a lot of work to do because it was over a year and he has some atrophy. But the mother wrote me a testimonial that if I had not said, let's do a thermography, that he would have ended up having his foot amputated.
Right, because he had no circulation and they didn't know.
They didn't know. They had no. They were X-raying him. They might see what was going on, you know, if there was necrosis or if the bone was dying, but they didn't really know that information. So these are ways that we can broaden what we're thinking about and how we're using thermography. I'm just so grateful that I was there and that this technology was able to help this lovely young guy keep his foot. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So we have to even broaden the way that we're thinking about our use of thermography because it's such a great tool.
The question I want to ask you is, how does a person find a qualified thermographer, or you know, what are the criteria that we want to be looking for? Because I'm sure after this conversation, more people will be interested in thermography, and I hope everyone listening will want to check it out. But what do we need to know so we are choosing the person who's, you know, who's qualified, has the best camera technology? What are your recommendations?
Well, I think there's a lot of misinformation, and I think thermography is getting popular because now there are a lot of webinars about natural cancer treatments, and people will talk about thermography, and they'll talk about hot spots, and a lot of it really isn't true. It doesn't make sense. And I think that some people that are getting cameras that aren't practitioners, that aren't working with medical doctors, who aren't using medical technology, they have a good intention, but they don't even know what they don't know. I would say that we have to think about thermography not being a standalone, especially people that have cancer or have a lump. If your thermographer tells you, oh, well, your thermography is okay, you're fine, that's not really true. No test is perfect. We always want to have palpation or an ultrasound or some kind of anatomical look at any lump because there are slow-growing encapsulated tumors that thermography may find invisible. Just like mammography will miss things, or ultrasound, or manuals, nothing is 100%. And you want to work with a practitioner who understands that and can work with you in combination. I think there are some really good thermographers who aren't licensed practitioners, but I think you probably have a better shot with a licensed practitioner who has a bigger toolbox. I use the Meditherm camera. I think it's really important to use a sensitive camera. I think it's really important to use a board of doctors who are HIPAA compliant, who have sensitive software, where we can have an overread with the panel that we use, electronic medical interpretation. The doctors are monitored. They can overread each other. I think that's super important. I personally am glad that I'm not doing my own reads. Some thermographers might say, well, if you don't do your own reads, you're not a good thermographer. Well, when I took x-rays as a chiropractor, rarely, but yes, I did, I always wanted a radiologist to do my read. I think it's good to have a third party, somebody objective to look at it. So with the proliferation of thermography, I think you want to know that they're using a good camera, that the conditions are right, that they're not making false claims. And I'll be happy to have people email us, info@pictureinside.com, and let us know their area, and my staff will help them find somebody that we have experienced as a proficient thermographer.
Oh, gosh, that's really important. So it's info@pictureinside.com. You mentioned something that I think really we just want to explain a little bit more. When someone comes to see you, they make an appointment, you will take them into a room and then take it from there. So what are you doing? And then you take these pictures and then where do they go and who interprets it and how to, you know, just kind of briefly give us the whole story of what is the procedure when you are dealing with a client.
So people come to see us. We ask them to follow a few simple guidelines. No vigorous exercise that day, no sunbathing, not putting any deodorants or lotions on. Basically, we want to see the person with their natural skin temperature. So we don't want to heat them up or cool them down. So they come into our office. We maintain a cool setting in our thermography room. We don't have any natural light coming in that has infrared and that can compromise the image. And we let the people cool down to their own satisfaction to when they feel comfortable. There was some what was called cold stressing in the past where people would put their hands in cold water. They'd be in freezing rooms. This will cause a lot of problems. It's uncomfortable. It will cause false positives. And with a sensitive camera, like the camera that we use, it's completely unnecessary. I think if anybody's doing that, that's a red flag for the client to know that about their practitioner. And then we go over things. I explain it to them. And then the process itself for the breast is super easy. They put their hands up. They take off their gown. It is a skin temperature, so we are taking pictures of the person without their clothing on. They put their hands up so that we can see their lymphatics under their arm. And we take a series of five pictures, the front, the sides, and the obliques, which is actually a full-on picture of each breast. And then I also like to take a back picture because I see that a lot of times people may have a rib out or a muscle spasm that translates through their rib under their breast, and they may have some pain that seems like breast pain, but it's actually musculoskeletal. And then after we take the images, we might look at them just so that the person can see them. But at that point, I send their history and their images to our thermologists, who are all certified thermologists and licensed medical doctors, because from state to state, people have different abilities to do different tests. In my state of California, thermography is in my license as a chiropractor, but you know, you never know from state to state, and breast screening is something that's very specific. So these doctors use very sophisticated software where they're looking at temperatures in pixels that are sensitive to 1/100th of a degree. We don't want to average our temperatures. We want to see pattern changes because nobody's going to be the same when they come back in 3 months, especially if they're on hormones or they're menstruating or temperatures change. And then we have the images interpreted. We get back the report. We send it to our client. And then I always, especially the first time, want to review even a normal thermography with people, which I can do being a licensed practitioner because it's a very specific language. You've seen your report. I just like to be a translator from thermography to English. And that's basically it.
So the important thing is that you actually send those pictures to trained medical doctors who, like radiologists, have been instructed how to interpret what they see and then give you that information back. It's not you interpreting the picture. You actually have medical doctors trained specifically.
And some of our medical doctors are radiologists, but some of them have other specialties as well, which is kind of nice with the full body because you're looking at a lot of things at another kind of physician may have actually had more experience with. But the other thing is that they're looking at sophisticated software. They're not looking at colors the way that you're going to look at a color when you look at a thermography or we look at it in our office. Mm-hmm. They're looking at a grid with temperatures. And it takes a certain eye. You could be a really good doctor. You could be a great anti-aging doctor. But if you don't have a flair for it, if you haven't been monitored and you haven't been properly taught and you haven't had many, many of your interpretations overread, we don't know if you really have the eye for it. Because there's a lot of great doctors who have tried to become certified as thermologists. They just don't have that skill. Mm-hmm. So I'm really comfortable with the doctors that we have. I'm really proud to be a part of this organization and to be able to get second opinions or to have doctors who are overread by their peers, so that it's not just one person sitting in a room, you know, who's maybe tired of looking at colors all day long. We need oversight, right? As in everything.
Yeah. That's why I really trust what you do, how you've been trained, the camera that you have, the MediTherm camera, and the other medical doctors who are there as thermologists reading the reports, because you get an accurate assessment of what's going on. What's the best website for people to find out more about you and your services?
Well, our website's really called thebreastthermographycenter.com, but even I can misspell that. So if they go to pictureinside.com, that will take them to our website. We have a lot of information there. And there's also a link where you can email us or email us directly, info@pictureinside. You know, as you said earlier, I'm really into educating and empowering women. So I of course, I can't talk specifically to people, but if they have a question, I'm happy to answer it on email. And if they let me know the area that they're in and they're looking for a good thermographer, I'll do my best to help them find somebody that I have a lot of personal confidence in.
Well, that's what I would really encourage people to do. If, and I trust after our conversation today, people, women and men, because of all the other applications, will be interested in exploring the use of thermography, and they can contact you because I know that you will direct them to someone who's really competent, and that's what we want. We want the best people, so it's good to know that people can just email you at info@pictureinside.com and get some guidance of who is appropriate, who is well-trained in their area.
I mean, you're putting your health in somebody's hands, so you want to make sure that it's somebody that's doing the best job possible.
Always. That's why I go to you, Hillary, and I appreciate your
expertise. Thank
you. You know, you are incredibly qualified practitioner, really dedicated to support people. If people are in the LA area, I hope they come and see you, because I can just absolutely vouch for the wonderful care and service and the high quality standards that you embody in your practice. So it's always great to have you share with us. It's wonderful that you're there to help me on my breast thermography images.
And it's my honor to be the personal thermographer of Dr. Cheryl Feldman.
You take good care of me.
Thank you
so much. And
okay.
To all of you listening, thanks. Thank you. We've been listening to Dr. Hillary Smith, who is such an expert in the area of thermography and women's breast health. And to all of you listening, thank you so much for spending this time with me. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.